This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Thumbtack presents the ins and outs of caring for your home. Out. Uncertainty. Self-doubt. Stressing about not knowing where to start. In. Plans and guides that make it easy to get home projects done. Out. Word art. Sorry, live, laugh, lovers. In. Knowing what to do, when to do it, and who to hire. Start caring for your home with confidence. Download Thumbtack today.
Hey, it's Jim Costa with Cash the Ticket. Mike Valeni and I are all over the tournament again this March. Breakdowns of every region and every game, who are the Cinderellas, and which team's cutting down the nets. Subscribe and listen to Cash the Ticket on the Odyssey app, wherever you get your podcasts.
That was the best weather report I've ever heard in my life. Holy cow.
Darn right.
Well, okay. All right.
You are
all right.
Darn all right. Tootin' right.
So Amy did the weather at 9:30.
Wow.
I'm going to do it at 10:30.
No.
Yeah.
No, that's not fair.
Yes, it is.
Today was my day.
You didn't even understand what was going on yesterday. Yeah. I was thrown into the fire. I saved our asses. By doing the weather at 9:30 and 10:30 and 11:30 and 12:30.
That's because no one invited me to the party or told me what was going on.
You did fine.
I thought it was great.
You don't have to overcompensate with a compliment for Amy. You know, this isn't like your 5-year-old drawing a something and putting it on the fridge and saying, oh,
no,
you did a great job, even though you know it sucks.
That voice message, he gets it. He gets it. He gets the show. He gets how to use the Odyssey app.
Who was it?
Bob.
Was it Bob? We don't know.
We don't know.
It was Joe.
Joe.
Joe gets it.
Joe
left a voice message on the Odyssey app, which is going to the Odyssey app and the KMOX main page on the Odyssey app and the microphone icon right there. And you can leave us a voice message and hear yourself on 104.1 FM just like Joe did. He gets
There's
it.
Such a thing as just saying something to be nice.
Okay.
And Joe did that. I don't know what that's like.
I think people know that you're a bully.
I'm not bullying.
You are.
I just don't want to lie to everybody. I don't want to say that you did something great when it was just fine. Hey, guess what's going on right now,
it's
Amy?
It's the Mott's Madness.
Our Mott's Madness pizza tournament is ongoing, and we do have results from yesterday because we had 3 ties. And in case you're wondering what is going on, well, the NCAA tournament is happening now. And we thought we would be the first radio show in history to do a tournament of our own.
Inspired by that?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because nobody has ever done this except for us. So we did sandwiches 1 year. We did the most St. Louis-y things last year in our Field of 64-40 tournament. And this year, we have decided to bring to you the best pizza in St. Louis as voted by you. So if you don't like the results... your fault. You, the listener.
Well, obviously.
Right. So we did have a couple of results from yesterday because we had ties and we want you to know about them. So first of all, in the 5-seed versus 12-seed matchup, Racanelli's beat Montebello with 2/3 of the vote.
And I'll give the 8-9. This one. Pizzioli? Pizzioli?
Pizzioli.
Pizzioli?
Soulard.
Versus Ragazzi's, 77% of the vote.
I don't know if I've ever had pizza at Ragazzi's. I've been there a bunch of times.
Really?
Yeah, I've had their toasted rav, of course, but never had pizza.
That's good.
And this place that everybody keeps talking about, Pizza A Go-Go,
mm-hmm.
We've had a lot of people who suggested that. Pizza A Go-Go just gets by Pizzeria Tivoli. So those are the 3 tiebreakers that we had yesterday. So now we are on to the round of 32. And we've got our 1 versus 8 seed in the pepperoni region. Emo's will go against Blackthorn. Blackthorn, is that the pub?
Blackthorn, Yes, and that is the pub where you go, and it is deep dish pizza. Like, you have to, when you order your pizza, it's going to be about 45 minutes to an hour.
At Blackthorn?
Mm-hmm, but it's good.
Is it deep dish?
Oh, super deep dish.
Okay, I've never had that.
The deepest of dishes.
Well, I've had deep dish, I just haven't been to Blackthorn.
No, Blackthorn is deepest of dishes. It's kind of an event. We went there for a friend's 30th birthday party. That was my introduction. And she's like, this is the perfect time because we're all hanging out, right?
Yeah.
We're going to order however many super deep dish pizzas. It was a great time. We spent the whole evening there.
So Racanelli's, which advanced, they'll face the 13 seed Pointers Pizza.
Mm-hmm.
Same division or same region. Olive and Oak is the 6th seed. They face De Rienzo's, which was suggested by some listeners. The number 10 seed, which I think got a low seed. It probably should have done a whole lot better. And this is a very difficult matchup. Filoni's versus the number 2 seed Guido's on the Hill.
Yeah, that's going to be a close one. My favorite region, the sausage region, is...
Okay. Yeah.
We already talked about the sausage
region. Go ahead. Go ahead, Amy.
Number one seed Union Loafers takes on That's a Nice a Pizza.
Yeah, and you try to tell me we have a pizza place
called That's a Nice a Pizza.
That's a Nice a Pizza.
Okay, well, you can't do the voice.
That's what they intended when they made that name.
You don't know that.
That's a Nice a Pizza.
It's a me, a Mario.
Are you kidding me? Anyway, there's a place called That's a Nice a Pizza here.
So that's number 8, but they're taking on Union Loafers. That's going to be tough. Number 5, Fortell's, takes on number 4, Pie Guy.
I like Pie Guy.
I got to say, I'm biased towards Pie Guy, but probably because that's recency bias, frequency bias. Milo's or Milo's?
It's Milo's on the Hill.
Milo's on the Hill. Sorry, I don't know.
That's Joe Vollmer's place.
Oh, my gosh. That's right.
Yeah,
This is a tough one. They're taking on Pizzeria de Gloria. I don't even know what to expect from that one. A 6 versus a 3. And then La Pizza, a 7 seed, takes on number 2, Stefanina's.
That is the sausage region. In the mushroom region, the number 1 seed, Katie's Pizza and Pasta.
Why does this all sound like euphemism now?
Well, okay, now I wasn't even thinking that. You are vile. The number 1 seed, Katie's Pizza and Pasta, takes on the 8 seed, Vito's, which is right up on Olive here. Number 5, Motortown Pizza, which is that Detroit-style stuff, which I do like. I'm a big Detroit-style.
Yeah. I got turned on to Detroit-style about 2 years ago. Didn't even realize it was a thing.
Yeah, it ain't
so
bad.
Good.
It is not bad.
Yeah.
Motortown against the 13 seed, Uncle Leo's.
Jerry!
Uncle Leo!
The number 6 seed is Nick and Elena's, and they will face the 3 seed Fordo's Killer Pizza.
I've never had Fordo's.
I have not either. The number 2 seed is Shotzi's, and they face the 10 seed Hot Pizza Cold Beer.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh. You're right. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know Shotzi. I don't know. I've heard of Hot Pizza Cold Beer. Have not had it myself. I have never heard of Shotzi's.
Hot Pizza Cold Beer is... less than 2 years old. Might be a year.
Yeah, and I'm sure it's pretty new.
Well, in the pineapple and ham region,
mm-hmm.
number 1 Dewey's. Are all of our number ones? All of our number ones are still alive. Number 1 Dewey's takes on Ragazzi's. That's a big one.
Yeah, so Ragazzi's just won the tiebreaker.
Yep, and Pizza A Go-Go just won the tiebreaker. They are taking on Antonino's.
Antonino's on a hill? That's going to be tough for them.
I think Antonino's on the Hill. I just saw, because I don't watch a lot of TV, and when I do, it is Hallmark or Food Network. I just saw them on, it was a repeat, Diners, Triple D, Drive-Ins.
Drive-Ins, Diners, and Dives.
Yes.
Yeah.
Diners, Drive-Ins,
Diner,
and Dives.
Whatever.
Yeah.
With what's-his-face?
Guy Fieri.
Number 6, Pastoria, takes on number 3, Cyberg's.
This
Cyberg's
thing
one.
Blows my mind.
You are the odd one out.
You are the odd one out.
Many people know about the great pizza.
Drew,
really
do you
good.
Know about Cyberg's pizza? Are you familiar?
Drew doesn't count.
Yeah. No. Wait, hold on. Drew doesn't count? Drew counts. I know about the wings. Again, and that's what Drew and I are together on this.
Yeah.
That to me is known as the wings place.
I think it's because I went with like a bunch of kids. Not just me and a bunch of kids, but the parents and the kids.
Yeah.
After
children.
Basketball games. Yeah, volleyball games.
And that's what you get with children is
so
pizza.
Good. Number 7, Mellow Mushroom, takes on number 15, Alfonso's. I've never been to Alfonso's.
Alfonso's is on the Illinois side. I think it's near Troy, something like that. I've been to it a bunch, but it was one of those where I knew how to get there, but I didn't know what town I was in. Went there a lot in high
really?
School. Yep.
So Alfonso's. You still don't know what town you were in?
That's correct.
Oh.
I know the roads to take
Can
to
you
get
just
there.
Tell us a couple of roads?
Well, I didn't even know the names of the roads. I just knew where to turn.
Turn
here. Yeah. It was one of those before the before you had GPS.
I think the issue with our Mott's Madness is that it makes me crave pizza every time we do this.
And nobody has brought pizza in.
Kind of astounding. It's pretty disappointing.
I think we need some people to get fired around here so the pizza shows up.
No, we don't get pizza anymore. People get fired.
Really?
Yeah.
I guess not. We used to get pizza parties every time somebody got let go.
Like, we're sorry that your colleague and good friend has lost their way of making a living.
Yeah,
here's some pizza.
You know, it's a nice consolation for us. Really, if you fire somebody, shouldn't you send them pizza?
Can I ask our audience, what do you guys get? Do you get anything when someone gets fired? Do you get pizza? Do you get cupcakes? Do you get a $5 gift card to Starbucks? That would be a good one.
I would like to know.
I would love to know. 314-436-7900. Also, if you have any thoughts on our Mott's Madness,
this texter,
I think it's going well.
Texter here says, that's a nice a pizza, is goated among my Jeffco family. If Jeffco turns out, it will be a slaughter.
Wait. Goated like G-O-A-T-E-D,
yeah.
The best, or goated
yes,
like you're
best.
Prodding, like with a poker?
Not goated.
G-O-A-D.
Like, yes. Greatest of all time.
So wait, can you read that text again?
That's a nice a pizza. That's how they meant it.
Yeah.
Is goated
okay.
among my Jeffco family. So if Jeffco turns out, it will be a slaughter.
Wow. Because that's a nice a pizza. Who are they going up against?
Union Loafers.
Oh my gosh. So Union Loafers is goated among a lot of city residents, maybe those who live east of 170. If they show up.
You know, I have to admit, I have not been to either. Well, of course, I haven't been to Jeffco. I don't go to
hang
out with
Jeffco. Of course you haven't been to Jeffco.
Well, I mean, I don't hang out there.
Look at this guy.
But I have not been.
Too good for us.
Well, it's too far away.
Whatever.
I have like a 15-minute drive in me at most.
My family's in Franklin County. I go out there all the time.
Well, good for you. I can't go that far. And you know I have a two-bridge rule.
He can't go that far because I'm not joking, he has very weak tires.
No, my tires are awful.
Like, this guy really does have tire issues. It's not his fault.
Driven over a screw. There was some other kind of thing wedged into it.
Yeah.
2 months ago. It's nonsense. But Union Loafers I haven't even been to.
Okay, that's your fault. That's a you problem. That's right there off Tower Grove Ave. It is so good. It's addicting, and there are local places like Box Hill Grocer and Clayton carries the Union Loafers, like sourdough.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. Let me tell you this. When I went to Colorado, I don't know what you guys make for yourselves when you're, like, alone. And obviously, you and I are alone a lot. But, like, what you make for yourselves alone. Not you and I are alone.
Not together.
That wouldn't be alone.
A lot of times it... About 8 o'clock at night, I call Amy and I go, are you alone? She goes, yeah. I go, yeah, me too. Just making sure. And then we hang up.
Well, anyway, when I was in Colorado, I brought with me Union Loafers sourdough. And do you know what I did for dinner? I would just rip it up and I had olive oil and sea salt. And,
oh, yeah.
Oh, I just dipped that sourdough. I ate an entire sourdough loaf, like a giant sourdough loaf.
For
just,
dinner?
Yes. Not one dinner. It was a couple dinners, but it's so good.
Well, Union Loafers versus That's a Nice a Pizza is going to be a matchup.
Did your
apparently.
Voice break on that one?
No, I was. Yeah, I pulled a Pajeski.
We don't talk about that.
Poor Matt. Matt's voice cracks every now and then. He's still going through puberty.
The disrespect.
It is so cute. He's 21, 20 and a half or something. I don't know. How old are you?
Doesn't matter.
He's 13. So young, and he's so cute. I love him. Anyway, that's our pizza tournament. You have to go to twitter.com.
Vote
on our Twitter page at Chris Amy KMOX. And if you're not following at Chris Amy KMOX, what's your problem? And you might as well follow the two of us.
Yeah.
At Amy Marks Kors and at Chris Ranji. We have Twitter.
Last thing. It's like the primaries. If you don't vote, you can't complain about
that
the stupid results.
That is exactly right.
You can't complain
That's
about
right.
the stupid results if you don't vote. So at Chris Amy KMOX on Twitter. It's the only place you can vote, and you got to follow the thread. Follow the thread.
That's right. It is the Chris and Amy Show on 104.1 FM KMOX.
Sounds great. Okay. I don't know how often you have unexpected or uninvited guests show up at your apartment, Ronj, or maybe you invite them at the last minute, but do you do the sweep to like clean your apartment or clean your house before someone comes over?
It depends on who's coming over.
Okay, I want to hear from people on this. 314-436-7900. You have to check the toilet. Always. You don't want remnants and you don't want a dirty toilet.
Dude.
Tell me, that's not the worst. Every toilet has a different flushing ability.
Yeah.
And some flushes are more effective than others. If someone is coming upstairs or coming to the house or whatever, the apartment, you have to do the sweep to see if there's anything like embarrassing or personal, to see if it's messy or crummy. Are dishes put away? What does the toilet look like? You don't run through your head like all those different things before someone comes over?
Well, again, it depends on who's coming by. I mean, some people, I don't really care.
Really?
Yeah.
So there was a Reddit.
Was it George Costanza who was like, do you think a rock star cleans their bathroom before a lady shows up? Wasn't it?
I don't remember that.
I don't know.
I think it was.
You gotta clean. So there was a, I love the headline from the New York Post. It's, are you a slob kebab? Which I've never heard that phrase, but I'm going to start calling people that. Don't be such a slob kebab. And it's an incredible Reddit thread about things they clean because you don't realize how people inspect your home. For instance, if someone is sitting on your toilet because they're using the bathroom, they're looking around at what's immediately in front of them. So they're going to notice things on the floor. They're going to notice dust in the corner. They're going to notice fingernail clippings on the sink. All these little things that you overlook.
Yeah.
He said that's the big thing, is get the viewpoint from the toilet and see what's clean, what's not clean.
This is why I don't allow people to sit on my toilet. You're not
One
allowed.
Lady, this is so gross. She said she plucks her eyebrows, as most, you know, people do.
On the toilet?
Not on the toilet, sorry, just in the bathroom. But then the eyebrows will fall between the faucet and the wall, the back wall. And she said you have to scrub that down because there's nothing grosser than seeing like little black eyebrows, like, you know, on the white sink.
Nobody likes looking at little dark hair that's in the sink.
I am traumatized from 2015.
You remember the year?
Yeah. I stay with a friend. And there were little clippings of like black hair. Very short though. Little clippings, to the point where I thought maybe he had rats. Because I'm like, do rats shed? But they were all over the bathroom, like the bathtub, and then some on the sink. So what I've told myself is that this guy would walk around with an electric shavers, like the kind my grandpa used, that, I don't know, it's like the three circles. The battery ones.
A beard trimmer or a shaver. Trimmer.
And would walk around and just walk around like shaving his beard because there were these little black clippings because it was either that or he had rats. They weren't curly.
He didn't have rats.
He might have.
He didn't have rats. The fact that you even thought.
Because it's a different country. It was in a different country.
So they just have, so because of that, then they probably had rats?
Well, it was in Australia. Isn't everything in Australia trying to kill you?
Rats don't try to kill you. They're just trying to eat.
Well, anyway, I still don't know what these little hairs are. Well,
He was trimming his beard. Did he have a beard or did he have stubble?
He must have had stubble.
Okay, so he was trimming his beard and little black hairs fell on the ground.
Here's another one that I think of. The hand towels. Yeah. There is nothing grosser to me than going to someone's house and the hand towel is wet. Like you wash your hands and you can see the wet spot.
Mm-hmm.
Put out a fresh hand towel, or my preference is a basket full of napkins.
So when I use a restroom, even if it's somebody else's place, I will not use the hand towel to dry off.
So gross.
I air dry.
Yep. You gotta. But that's why I buy, you can buy some nice, you can buy pretty napkins, bathroom napkins, and use them when you have guests. You don't have to use them all the time, but right. when you have guests, put out napkins.
Well, I don't
this person said, I dry my hands with Kleenex or toilet paper because the hand towel is so gross.
Ew.
You haven't done that?
I would not use toilet paper.
Yes, you wad it up and then you pat your hands because I'm not touching the dirty hand towel.
That's a little weird.
That is not weird.
Toilet paper?
What else are you going to dry your hands with?
Air dry. Walk out, air dry.
No, because you're going to walk out and your hands are going to be dripping wet. Now I'm going to be grossed out by you.
That's fine. Not my problem.
What about, and I found this with apartments because I've always lived in old apartments. There's a gray dust that accumulates and it'll accumulate on the back of the toilet. Why is that?
On the back of the toilet?
Yes, anything
I don't know.
White. Any white surface has gray dust.
No, but you know what I had one time? This is, it scared me because I didn't know what it was and I had never seen it before. Mm-hmm. And I figured it out. I had bought a candle and it must have been a low quality piece of crap. And I got
dirty
it from
burner?
I got it from Home Goods.
Yep.
And in my bathroom, there was soot all over the toilet seat, black soot. And I was like, what is that? And I got rid of the candle. I have not seen it before or since. But it was think of all that in the air and you're breathing it.
It's so specific.
That's disgusting, man.
Ronch, it is so specific. You're so spot on. I had a dirty burn candle from Home Goods that I had to throw away.
Oh.
You gotta watch out for the dirty burn.
I won't buy candles from there anymore.
You can see it sometimes.
Yeah.
Ugh.
That cannot be good for you.
No, you're gonna get the black lung?
Yeah, you get lung cancer,
Legionnaire's
disease. Maybe tuberculosis?
From a dirty burn Home Goods candle.
Never again. When we come back on 104.1 FM KMOX, we'll talk some baseball with Benji Molina, part of the Cardinals Spanish broadcast team. Cardinals opening day is coming up Thursday.
Slowed down. Ooh. He hits this one deep to left field. Fermin goes back at the track. He's looking up. That is just clearing the wall and a home run. Nolan Arenado, a three-run shot, just barely. If that wall would have been about a foot higher, that's off the wall for a double. Instead, Arenado hits a dinger, a three-run shot, and the Cardinals strike first here on the top of the first inning.
Matt Pauly on the call last night here on 104.1 FM KMOX, and hopefully you got an opportunity to listen to Cardinals baseball in FM sound. It does sound great, and we are getting ready for baseball. Real, actual, regular season ball will take place on Thursday. Joining us now to talk about that, also part of the broadcast from last night, is Cardinals Spanish language broadcaster Benji Molina. I think everybody knows Benji. He's with us now on 104.1 FM. How's it going, Benji?
How you guys doing? I'm doing good. I drove yesterday to Memphis. We did the game, and then we drove back. That was a quick trip, but we're doing great. We have fun.
You ready to go for Thursday?
Oh, yes. Oh, yeah. We are so ready. We cannot wait for these young guys mixed with the veteran players to see what they can do, man. I mean, it's time for them to forget about the spring training, either numbers or anything, and start concentrating on winning games out there, man. It's time to see what they can do.
You know, Benji, we talk about the numbers, and obviously spring training is spring training, so you have to take it with a giant grain of salt. Sonny Gray, starting pitcher for the Cardinals on Thursday. But, I mean, had a bit of a tough spring training, giving up some earned runs. Do you feel concerned about that? Do you see what Sonny Gray needs to do to maybe bring those numbers down a bit?
Let me tell you, honestly, I've been in so many spring trainings like this, where people and players are not doing as they would like to do in spring training. But I've been in so many of them. The veterans are really, really easier for them to just turn it on whenever the lights are on opening day and keep going from there. The young guys is a little different because you don't know much about them. You don't know how their mentality is when they struggle. In spring, how they're going to take it to the season. Those are the ones that probably get you a little bit more worried than the veterans. Around the whole lineup, there was a lot of struggle, but at the same time, Thursday come in, 3 o'clock, and they're concentrating, and Pablo Lopez. So everything in spring training, I know it's hard to look at sometimes, but I've been there. I've been there, and it's tough for all of us. We want to do good. We want to get in a good rhythm. Sometimes we cannot do it, but once those lights are on, a lot of them just turn it on, and they just keep going good, you know, after that.
So is there any, Benji, is there any real good way to tell whether or not it's just spring training, no big deal, he's a veteran, he'll be fine, or if there are signs of something to be concerned about?
I think the best way to find out is when the season starts, you know? Like, the veterans don't worry me so much, but the young guys, most of them, because they're young in the league, and you don't know how they're going to take the struggle, but once the season starts, the first series, maybe the second series, by the second second series of the homestand, I think that's when you're really going to know who really was out of whack in spring training and who didn't even care that they had a bad spring. Here comes the season, and they're ready to go.
How would you place Mason Winn? You said you're not too worried about the veterans, right? He's obviously a young guy, struggling a bit, batting over spring training. What do you hope to see from him? What do you expect when the spring training wasn't exactly what you would want?
You know what? He's one of the perfect examples, right? I mean, he struggled at the beginning. Then he had a great, awesome year last year. But then he goes to spring training. He struggled. You know, I think he only got like a couple hits in spring training. Those are the kind of examples that I mean. Like the young guys, you don't know how they're going to take it. For what I know, Mason Winn, I think he's a battle. I think he has a great mindset. I think he's out there hustling every day. I think he'll be fine. I think he'll build up once he gets 2 for 3, 1 for 3, 2 for 3, 2 for 4 nights. He's going to build up from there because he showed us that he has that mentality. So I'm not too worried about Mason Winn. I think he's going to be fine.
What about him batting leadoff, which it seems like they want to go into the season with him doing that, even though he hasn't really gotten on base a lot? In, you know, at least his OBP is not great to this point. Do you like the idea of him being at the top of the order?
I love it. I love Winn and Burleson. When they were there, the team was scoring runs. The team was hitting good. Obviously, at the end of the season, they hit a little wall there. But, I mean, almost for the most part of the season, 1 and 2, they were killing, man. They were doing really good. So maybe MR Moll is trying to move things around since they see that Mason Winn is struggling a little bit and Burleson was struggling at the beginning of spring. But Burleson seemed to pick it up. He's a hitter. He's going to be fine. But I'm saying, like, at 1 and 2, they were doing great at some point in the season, a long time in the season. So maybe spring training, maybe Marmol is seeing more than we do. Obviously, he's with them every day. And that's why the changes have been coming. Like, Victor Scott will hit 8. Mason Winn will hit 9. Maybe they've seen something, obviously, that we haven't since we're not there every day.
You know, we were talking about battling for a position in spring training with Victor Scott. He had a great spring training. He'll be playing. Correct me if I'm wrong, but a while ago, a handful of years ago, you were battling for a spot with Todd Green for catcher with the Angels. And tell me if that is, you know, was that what you guys were doing? You were battling for that spot. And what was that like as a player, knowing that you're in the equivalent of a tryout?
It is pretty tough. And again, I cannot emphasize this enough. Sometimes some guys will take it better than other guys, you know, the battle and the competition and all that. For Victor Scott this spring, he just came to take it. He wasn't even looking to the side. He's like, hey, you know what, guys? This is my position. Open the door, and I'm going to be their center fielder opening day. So he took it. He took it. He did great. For me and Todd Green, I have Fabregas. I have Matt Wahlbeck. Some point, Charlie O'Brien was there. Jim Larritz, too. I had many, many catchers. I had no chance to be worried about making a team. You know what I'm saying? If I put that in my head, I would have not had a career I had. I think Benji Molina concentrated so much, in his game and what he brings to the team and what he can catch the pitcher. I did not try to copy anybody. I was not trying to be better than anybody. I was just playing my game and letting my game hopefully, take me to where I am right now, right? Having a great career, a good career. So if these kids can separate that out of the competition, maybe it's better for them. But that's what I did when I was competing with all those really good players. I did not worry about them. I was worried about Benji Molina. I was worried about me doing my job, catching good games, throwing guys out, hitting, and all that stuff.
Talking with Benji Molina on KMOX, and also decided, and it was a bit of a surprise for a lot of people, Matthew Liberatore making the rotation. He will at least start the season with the Cardinals in the rotation, and they're going to go with a five-man rotation for a couple of weeks and then expand it to a six-man, or at least that's the plan. First of all, what do you think about Liberatore being in the rotation, and secondly, the idea of a six-man rotation after that?
I don't think a six-man rotation is far. I don't think. I think it saves the guy's arm a lot because you're going to throw a lot less innings. You're going to be more like fresher, you know. You're going to be fresh more. So I think it's a good idea for six. Matthew Liberatore, wow, what a spring, huh? Forget about the win and losses, but 162 in 16 innings. 16.2, 9 strikeouts. This guy is the same as Victor Scott. This guy was right at the door saying to everybody, hey, open that door, I'm here to stay. And he took it, man. He had a great spring. And I think it's a good thing for the Cardinals, you know, having him out there. He's only 25, and he seems like he's a veteran pitcher out there. He looks unreal. He looks so good out there on the mound and the presence and the dominance and all that stuff. So I think it's a great, great thing that they're just going to give him the ball every 5 days.
Yeah, I have no problem with them doing that either. Yeah, that's why they traded for him in the first place, hoping that he would be in the rotation, and it makes him that much more valuable if he's there. So do you believe just by what you've seen from him, whether it's this spring or prior to that, that he could be a good, dependable starter in the big leagues for, 160, 170 or so innings?
I think so. I think if they let him loose, I think if they tell him, hey, listen, you're going to be here every 5 days, I don't care. 30 starts, 35 starts, I don't care. You're going to be here. We're going to give you the ball every 5 days. I think his mindset changed, or maybe they did say that in spring, but your mindset changed. You know, you're not worried that they're going to send you to the bullpen. You're not worried that you're going to go down to the AAA if you struggle a little bit. They're telling you, hey, you're going to be here every fifth day. You're going to be on the mound. And I think he changes his mind. Maybe that's what helped him. I mean, he was good last year. He was good. Obviously, he hit some bombs and at the end, but he got tired a little bit. But this spring, man, he's looking really, really good. So hopefully we can have a healthy Liberatore for the whole season and see what he can do. 15-plus wins will be essential for the Cardinals.
Cardinals had a good bullpen last year, one of the better ones in baseball. Any reason to think they won't still be at least as good?
I think they will. I think they will. The addition of Maton, and we heard when we Andrew Kittredge, you know, he did a lot for us. You know, he threw a lot of innings out of that bullpen. He took the ball every time they asked, but we lost him. I think Maton brings that personality. He's won it before. He's been in winning teams before. I think it's going to help. A bullpen, I have no issues with it. You know, obviously we take a hit by taking Liberatore out of it, but we have really good pitchers out there. JoJo is going to be okay. Helsley, the reliever of the year. I mean, this bullpen, John King had a great great season. At the end, you know, maybe the last 3 weeks he was struggling a little bit with tiredness or something. But other than that, he pitched unreal the whole year. So the bullpen doesn't worry me. Doesn't worry me much.
Yeah, I think the thing most people are worried about is offense, and we played the highlight of Nolan Arenado's home run in the game yesterday, and for the last two seasons, he really just hasn't been the same Arenado that we have seen in the past, the guy that the Cardinals traded for. What do you expect from him this year?
Oh, I expect good things from Arenado. He's a gamer. He's a gamer out there, yeah, and I'm with you. He didn't have his normal season, right? His normal 25, his normal 100 RBIs. But don't go too far, guys. This kid still had, in 23, 93 RBIs, and he hit 266, 26 home runs. Yeah, last year was a little of a down year for him, 71 RBIs, 16 home runs and all that, but he hit 272. So I expect him to have a bounce back year. I think Arenado is way too good to be down here in these numbers, you know. So I think hopefully he's healthy enough to have a full year. And I think he'll bounce back. I think he's going to have a good year. He's going to have a good year defensively, which is everybody knows that, right? He's really great. But hitting, he's going to have a bounce back year.
Hey, Benji, what do people need to know about catching you and Paulo Asensio on La Tremenda 880?
Oh, my goodness. We're going to be bringing it to you guys. We're going to be bringing it out there to the fans. We're going to have fun. Remember, we can only talk about what's going on in the game, right? Like we're bringing the game to the fans, and that's what they can expect from us. They can expect that we're going to have fun. We're going to make it fun for you guys out there. Hopefully we can win some games so we can yell and not be fired, you know. So hopefully that helps. you know, sometimes you get so wild, you know, because something good happened and then you have to calm yourself down because, you know, you don't want to get in trouble. But no, we bring it, man. We bring it every day. We bring it every night, lose or win. We bring it. We have fun. We love having fun out there for the fans.
Well, I just hope you get a word in.
Oh my goodness!
I hope that you're allowed to speak. Yeah, that's it.
Opening day. It's going to be only two words.
That's right from you. Yeah. Oh, I know.
I gotta take advantage of those two.
Make them count.
You might have to interrupt Polo every now and then. That's it.
I love it. You guys are the best.
That's a great job, man. You guys got to hear him. He's a natural out there. Yeah.
He's
great. What he's doing. He's awesome on the calls. And I just let him there. I said, you know what? I'm getting paid no matter what. So you talk if you want.
I'm kidding, guys. Check's still
I'm
coming
kidding.
Through.
Oh, my gosh.
You guys are so good. We appreciate it.
Benji and Polo, you can hear them on the Spanish broadcast. Opening day is on Thursday. Benji Molina, we love you. Thank you for visiting with us again.
No, thank you, guys. Chris, Amy, thank you for having me in your show. Opening day, it's a holiday.
Let's go.
Louis, so
let's do
we'll
it.
See you there.
Let's
go.
We can't wait. Benji Molina with us here on 104.1 FM KMOX.
We're all excited about opening day, baby. Opening day is Thursday. How is this even possible? We're 2 days away.
It's kind of like Christmas rolling up. That you do the same thing, like, how is next week Christmas?
Because tomorrow's Christmas Eve, because we'll be here in the studio, and then on Thursday, we will be at Ballpark Village, and it's going to be a ton of fun. Kegs and Eggs is almost sold out. All the tables are sold out for Kegs and Eggs.
Yep.
But if you were super bummed about that and still want to be part of the opening day festivities, great option here for you. The First Pitch Breakfast featuring storytelling with Vince Coleman and Tom Ackerman celebrating the 1985 Cardinals, otherwise known as Chris Ronji's favorite team. That starts at 8 a.m. There's going to be food, delicious breakfast buffet, bottomless mimosas, Bloody Marys, and Tom Ackerman will be hosting while Vince Coleman tells stories all about the 85 team, and these don't have to be FCC compliant because it won't be broadcast. So the only way to hear these stories about the 85 team is with tickets to the First Pitch Breakfast. You also get an AB Beer commemorative 104.1 FM KMOX glass stein, only available at this event, and we think and we know it's the first 104.1 FM commemorative item. Yep. And thank you to the St. Louis Cardinals. They'll be providing each attendee with a pair of tickets to the game on Saturday, March 29th at the 1:15 game against Minnesota. So it might be the best deal in St. Louis for opening day.
It's a pretty great deal.
KMOX promo code?
KMOX. That's right. If you go to KMOX.com/events, when you're checking out, there's a place to put in a promo code. And if you put in KMOX, you will get 20% off. So you're already getting a great deal. Mm-hmm. You're getting the food. You're getting the booze. You're getting the Budweiser. You're getting the mug, the tickets to the game, stories from Vince Coleman that will not be heard on the air because it's unfiltered. So a conversation with him, Tom Ackerman, it's a great way to kick off the season of Cardinals baseball in 2025, which happens to be the 40th anniversary of that 1985 team.
Yeah.
So
pretty crazy.
Well, what else are you going to do?
Well,
you don't even have to be going to the game. Go down.
Yeah.
Go to the First Pitch Breakfast.
And then
hang out with Vince.
And that's the unbroadcasted part. So you get to hear all those stories. Then you leave, right? And you say,
get out. You already heard your stories.
Get in your car, drive to your friend's house, drive to the game, tailgate, whatever you need. Then you can listen to Kegs and Eggs, which is being broadcast because Chris Ronji and I will be there.
From 9 until noon.
From 9 until noon.
Although I think for the first half hour.
It's a trick.
We'll
technically be there from 9:30 to noon because the First Pitch Breakfast will still be going on and we
don't interrupt them.
We don't interrupt them and we can't broadcast it.
So the first half hour will be in studio.
Yeah. And then we're going to head over to Ballpark Village at 9:30.
You're going to wonder how we did it, and you'll be amazed.
Well, a magician never, like illusionists, they never tell you how they do it.
You can't give up your tricks.
That loses the magic.
That's Amy Markscores. I'm Chris Ronji. Final hour of the show is next. We go from 9 until noon every day now here on 104.1 FM KMOX.